I know, who knew? We were sneaking off there, so we didn't know till a few weeks ago, so that was really nice start for us. But the start of every year, for the past about 5 years now, I know I've shared this with a lot of you over the years, that I always pray for a word for my year. And I've had various words. Sunshine was one word, and I loved that, you know, particularly in January. And last year was presence. And it lived with me all year that I needed the presence of God in my life more than anything else. And that was to be my number one priority and my number one goal. And it did me so much good throughout the year because I kept coming back to it, kept coming back to it. And that brought me right until October. And I think I shared last time that I said to God at one point, I don't feel your presence. And I felt this word say, go to a convent the first week in October. And I did that because I'm going to obey God. I am going to do that, even when it sounds weird. And some of the things, some of the words I've given out, you know, I've been obedient because I've thought it was God. And I'm willing to be wrong. I'm willing to look an idiot because I've had lots of practice at that. But anyway, but God met me at that place. And he said, go back to your calling. And I shared that last time. And my calling was for evangelism, to see people meet Jesus. And also for signs and wonders, that this isn't all. We don't have to solve it all on our own. That God is real and he wants his kingdom on earth. And we pray that a lot. So let's believe it. So that's where I was up to maybe last time. So my word for this year, which you want to know, don't you? I'm getting there. And if you could put it up, is fruitful. And the word is fruitful. So is that just for me? Well, maybe it is just for me, but I'm passing it on to our body here, to our family, that this year is going to be a fruitful year for us. Now in Cyprus, there were lots of trees teeming with oranges and lemons. And we saw this tree with amazing grapefruits on, like you have never seen the size of them. But I am speaking as fruitful metaphorically. I hope you realize that. That, you know, if gardening was the thing I was going to do, it wouldn't be very fruitful. But fruitful in our lives, that whatever we turn our hand to, that we're partnering with God and we expect to see something good coming from it. And hopefully we're going to have our eyes open to say to each other, look at what's happening, look at what's happening. So I wanted to pass that on to you, and that, you know, we're going to be coming back to that time after time. So, this morning, I wanted to read to you from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, and it is in, it is up there. I'll read it from here because it's bigger. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. If that's not a proof of Jesus being God to people who don't, I don't know what is. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Thanks, Dan. Is there another one? For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And I felt right at the beginning, I know this is the second Sunday, and I've not been able to listen to Stuart's message, actually. I couldn't get it on our internet. But although it's the second Sunday, we're still at the beginning, aren't we? And I wanted us to focus on the most important thing, which is the cross. And I've put it there. We don't always have it out, do we? But today I wanted it sort of front and central, or side and almost central to what we can see. Mark had pushed it at the back, and I thought it just looked like somebody else playing an instrument. So I just wanted it there so that we can keep it there and keep it in our minds. You know, that verse, that those verses tell us, don't they, that Jesus had the fullness of God in him. That when we want to know what God's like, I don't see God, what's he like? He is Jesus. We look at Jesus. When we want to define love, what's love like? We look at the cross. We look at the cross because that's where Jesus died. That's where he was consciously aiming to go for us, because he knew the bigger picture. And what looked like defeat has become victory. And we know that without the cross, we wouldn't have the resurrection, which, of course, is ultimate importance. So I wanted to have that at the beginning of the year for us, so that if we've never really encountered Jesus in our life, then we can do that even today. We can start a new life with Jesus today. If we've been on the road, oh, we've been a Christian years. I became a Christian years and years ago. Well, maybe it's time to reconnect. Maybe it's time to go back to the beginning and start thinking, well, do I need to reassess where I am? Have I gone astray? Am I not doing what I did? Am I not as passionate as I was? If not, why not? Is Sunday just coming to a meeting? Or is it coming to see what God is saying for our lives for this week? Is it coming to see what he wants to partner with us in, being part of his kingdom, and saying, you know, who am I going to meet this week? Who am I going to encounter that I can pass on Jesus in whatever I say, whatever I do? And I wanted to share with you a little bit about our holiday as well. Would you like to see some pictures? Yeah, okay. All right, oh, there we are. We're always good on the selfies. I never publish photos much on Facebook. Those of you who are friends with me will know, because I'm always have rubbish pictures, basically. You can see it's a nice place, but it's very wet. So we didn't have brilliant weather, but we had very nice rest, and it was Limassol in Cyprus. And so we got a car, and we heard there was lots of ruins and things like this. And to be honest, we didn't really know a lot about it, because we just went for a rest. But we went around lots of ruins. And did you know Barnabas, who in the Bible, who went about with Saul, who became Paul, he was from Cyprus, from a place called Salamis. So we went there as well. And here is his tomb. I don't know if he's really in it, but, you know, they said he was, so who am I? But it was down in this cave, and it was really interesting going there. But, of course, when it's rainy and you can't lie on the beach and that, you do have to get up and go about more, don't you? So we also went to Nicosia, and that's really interesting because it's a capital city of Cyprus, but it's sort of chopped in half, and half is owned by the Greeks and half is owned by the Turks because of an invasion in 1974. If you want to know more about that, well, Yeah, you might not want to talk to Mark about it unless you've got an hour. So, you know, beware. If you mention it, he will talk to you about it. So we were in Nicosia, and it was rainy, and, you know, there wasn't many tourists around in January, but there was a few tourist shops. And I just noticed down an alleyway, this tourist shop with a big open door, and there was a sign hanging up on a shelf, small sign. It said, "With God, all things are possible." So I thought, oh, let's go and see what that's about. Because we hadn't gone to church. There's lots of Greek Orthodox churches, very formal, and obviously in Greek, so we wouldn't have understood that. So we didn't go to church, but we went into this shop, and there was a lady, and I said, "Oh, I've come in because I've just seen your sign." And she said, yes, everything is possible with God. So I said, "Oh, you're a Christian." So are we. So she hugged me and said, "Yes, the family of God throughout the world." And so we had a really nice chat. And I said, "Oh, all as we've seen really is Orthodox churches. Are you part of that?" So she said, "Well, I was." And then she went on to tell us her story of how she became a Christian, how she met Jesus, how she became a follower of his. And she said basically she was at a really low point in her life, which is very low. Her husband was having an affair, and she'd driven in the middle of the night to find her husband, and he was having an affair, and she was brokenhearted. And on the same day, her sister died. And she said she drove home and she sat at the traffic lights. And she said she was at the lowest point of her life and she didn't know what to do. And so she said she cried out. She just said like a howl cry. And she said she was crying to her Creator. She didn't really know much about Christianity because she'd just gone to the church and come away. But she said something happened to her when she was sitting at those traffic lights. She said she felt it in her gut, and she said, I can't put a name to it, but something happened where the circumstances didn't change, but she changed. Now, it was some months later, before she met some people who were able to explain to her that that's Jesus. That's Jesus, your Creator. Everything was made through him. We've just read, that is the Creator in a person that we can recognize and understand and read about him on earth. That was who she met, somebody who saw her in such pain and could identify with her and then do something about it, not changing the situation, changing her. And she said she went to the back to the Orthodox church, and I don't understand this. She said she kept cleaning the church. And I thought, oh, if people have experiences here, will they come and clean the church? Because it's not something I would think of my first thing. But anyway, she was doing well with English, so I wasn't interrupting that. And she said, the priest said, "What are you doing? You're singing. What are you singing?" And she said, because all she'd ever sang was chants with the priest. And she said, I don't know. I didn't know I was singing. He said, "Well, you're singing. What are you singing?" "I don't know." And he told her to stop doing that. Now, we're not saying anything against the Orthodox Church because they didn't understand what had happened to her. But they were going to put her out of the church. But she said she knew something was happening. She didn't read the Bible. So she couldn't tell you the theology of the cross. She hadn't read the up-to-date book of N.T. Wright. But she knew something had happened inside to change how she was seeing what she saw. Just to cut a long story short, she eventually came across a pastor of a church about an hour away who gave her his card, and she still goes there now. And I think it was 2009, was it, that happened to her? So she's come quite a long way. And she's called Eleanor. So, you know, that changed our holiday. That brightened up, saying, God is here. Jesus is alive, and he is working in people's lives. And that, to me, spurs me on every day to say, if he can do it there, he can do it here. We share stories to make sense of our own lives. You know, when we converse and somebody says, oh, you know, I was really sad because my cat got run over. You know, we often go, oh yeah, that happened to my cat. No, I don't have a cat. Wouldn't happen. But we share stories to make sense of what's happening to us. So stories are important. And, you know, I want us to focus on the cross this morning of seeing Jesus. And there's a lot we could say about the cross, and I wasn't making fun of N.T. Wright or reading his book, because we've been reading it, and you know, it's really interesting. And one of the really interesting things he said was every generation ought to define the cross for themselves. That's not making up something new. That's building and looking on how it looks for our generation here and now. And that is important. We have to be current. We can't use what we used 50 years ago to communicate to today's generation. The main thing that, thanks Dan, I forgot about that, but you're on it, is peace. Peace with God is one of the things that I just wanted to talk to us about. Peace with God, because it went wrong. God's plan A was always a relationship with us. It was always peace. It was always, let's do it together. With God, with the creator of the world, it was always that. When it went wrong, and I know in the past we've said, you know, when sin came in and divided us from God, we needed something to mediate, to patch that up, and that was Jesus. That's not saying that isn't for today. That is, but there's also more, isn't there? There's so many things of the cross, and I just want to concentrate on two things. That peace with God, that in Jesus came as man. He did no wrong. The Bible says he went around doing good. He healed. Well, why did he do that? Why did he even bother healing people? Because they were going to die. So what was the point of that? He was showing us the kingdom. He was showing us a different way to live. That it's not all right for people to be sick. It's not all right for them to die. That the kingdom of God was to go on forever. But Satan did come in, and, you know, thinking about the Narnians, when Jardus came to earth, C.S. Lewis was showing us that story in a way even children could understand. But that did come in, that did make some sort of vastness between us. But God's plan was always to come back, to reconcile us, and to bring us back to that kingdom reality where we partner with him. Our first commission in Genesis 1 says, go, multiply, subdue the earth. Be fruitful, our word of the year. That's God's plan for us. It's this one now is not plan B. It's reconciled us. It's brought us back to plan A, where the kingdom of God is going to come to earth. How does it do that? It does it through us. It did it through Jesus on the cross. It had to be public. His death had to be public. People had to see that he died so that when he was raised from the dead, that it was actually true. That is one of the reasons it had to be public. So peace with God through Jesus' death on the cross has brought us back to plan A, where we're bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth, and he's using us. And that's what he wants to do. And that's what Jesus was demonstrating with his care and his kindness to everybody he met. He did do good. He didn't go, well, it's a waste of time. They're going to die. So what's the point of healing them now? I might as well go on with it. No, it wasn't what he wanted. So plan A is we bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And in that, that's where we're reconciled. That's where we have peace with God. There's lots of things we could say. And going back to Eleanor, our new friend, what she got was a new life. Now her life was still the same. She had children. She had a shop. She did the things. She was still getting a divorce from her husband. Her sister was still dead. All those tragic things. But there was a newness of life in her. What life? What had happened? The Bible describes it as being born again. And I think it was it John Paul Sartre who described us having a hole, a God-shaped hole in our life, and that needed to be filled. And I've thought a lot about that. And I would describe being born again as there's a part of us not yet quite born. You know, lots of people say, there must be more to life than this. Yeah, there's more to your life. There's a spiritual part of you that's not yet being properly formed. That's why sometimes you see people, I've seen it when I was teaching. I take every 2 years, I used to take the whole of Key Stage 2, about 250 children. I used to take them to the Guildhall to listen to the Liverpool Philharmonic, and we used to do a whole music thing around that. I think Kingsfield did it once or twice. And sometimes you'd see children would just cry. And they'd never listened to classical music. They didn't know much about it apart from school, but they'd cry and you'd say, what's the matter? But they didn't know why they were crying. You might have seen people come in here, and when the music starts, when we start worshipping, people well up and cry. That's our spiritual part. That's our soul part. And that needs to be born. That needs to have new life. It needs to have life. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Through the cross, through Jesus on there, when he went, he said, if I don't go, then the comforter, the counselor, cannot come. So Jesus went that we might have the Holy Spirit within us. And that's where we're born again. That's where our spirit's born. And that's where we meet God. That's where we hear God. And that's where we partner with him to see a different way of looking at things. You know, I'd like to say Happy New Year. I hope this year is going to be absolutely wonderful for you. I hope you're going to be really happy, get lots of money, have holidays and get lots of treats. But we all know that mixed in with that, we're probably going to have hard times. You don't want someone saying to you, Happy New Year. I hope your really hard times are not going to be too bad this year. But really, you know, we are going to have ups and downs, aren't we? You know, we might not be well. We might need money. We might need house. We might need breakthrough. And Mark had said when he was speaking, you know, keep asking, keep knocking for those things. Don't give up. See it differently. See it with your spiritual eyes. How does God see it? How would Jesus see it? Let's start asking. Let's start partnering. Because the cross means we can. The cross means we can see it differently. So, you know what? I might have had flu last year. I might have flu this year. But I hope I'm going to see it differently. I hope I'm going to see it through God's eyes. What will happen to me? God is good. You know, do we believe that? Do we believe that God is good? Do you remember when we used to say, God is good all the time? Do you remember what everyone used to say? And all the time, God is good. Yeah, that's right. But if we believe it, if God is good, then he wants to do good things. He wants to do, don't be talking about prosperity gospel here. You know, let's not be scared of having good things. Let's not be scared of praying for the things that we want, no matter how minute. I don't know if Josh Siemens is here. We were talking yesterday about his wedding. Yeah, we have two weddings this year. And I said to him, I went off on my stories again. And I was telling him some stories of when, things we prayed for when we got married and things that happened and God was involved in the minute detail. I've told my family these stories. They've grown up with them. So that when Emily got married, she said, I want my wedding stories. I went, you get them. You pray for them. Because God is interested. He's interested in the color of your sofa. So when you go shopping for wallpaper or a sofa, you pray. You pray and see him. He is interested in the minute detail. And we see it through spiritual eyes. And let's get there. And just the last thing that I want to say is, you know, we talked about the cross. We've talked about peace with God. We've talked about our spiritual lives being born. And you might have been sitting there going, oh, I wish so-and-so was here to hear that, you know. Let the people who need this, yeah, let them come. But we are the transformers of society. We are going to be the ones that take this gospel out into Booth, out into the community, out into this nation. We are going to be that. Mark's been... he's been banging on a little bit, and at home as well, to be honest, about our vision, core values. Why are we going to do our vision and core values? Our vision is for people to encounter Jesus. How are they going to encounter Jesus if we don't tell them? We'll bring them to church and hope they just sort of get it. Is that by osmosis? Is that the right word? Someone's nodding half to me. Our vision is for people to encounter Jesus and find wholeness, hope, and purpose. We all need that. And to be empowered to make a difference in the world. That is our vision. So this year we want to be fruitful. And, you know, we don't all find it easy to share our faith. I don't find it easy. You know, this is who I am. But I have friends that I find it very, very difficult to share my faith with. Because maybe you've gone too far down the line and you haven't spoken about Jesus. And they know you go to church, but it's not about church, is it? That sounds like a club that we go to on a Sunday. This is a living reality that is going to affect lives and empower them and give them hope. How do we do that? Well, one thing, you can invite them to Alpha. But the other thing is you've got to walk with people, haven't you, through their everyday life. But you have to get to speak. And this morning, I do want us to have a little bit of time of reflection. And I have asked some people who I recognise in them the spirit of evangelism. And I've asked them if they will be available to pray for us, either to pray for us that we will have that gift of evangelism. It is a gift. We can't all be Billy Grahams in an arena with thousands of people, but we can be in our own little pool, whether to our family or our friends, we can be Jesus. So we have to do what we can, when we can, and speak. And if you don't get it right, then don't worry. You say, sorry, Lord, that wasn't very good, was it? Shall we try again? Can you give me another opportunity? And he will. It's just ordinary. When you're sharing, be normal. Don't go into your spiritual accent. Or have you known people to do that? I know somebody when he speaks to people abroad who starts speaking like this. He's sitting on the front row. I'm not going to say who it is. But he has a little accent, and he thinks that. But be normal, you know. Be normal. Tell them your story. And wow people. And if your life is not being wowed by Jesus, come for prayer this morning. Let's do that together. Be confident. This is good news. The transformation of Eleanor's life, not circumstances, her life. It's good news. Be confident in that. Be prepared to have a go. Okay, you might end up being embarrassed. You might. If they go, what are you talking about? You will be embarrassed. You will. But don't let it put you off. Move on. And be open to the Holy Spirit. You're not on your own. You're not on your own. If you said yes to Jesus, to follow him, you are not on your own. The Holy Spirit lives within you. That's how you recognize other Christians. Have you ever looked at people and thought, I think they're a Christian? That is the Holy Spirit working within you. So, you know, start trusting in that. Start practicing. So we're going to have a little time of reflection. If you think, I don't know what you're talking about. I hope that's not the majority. But if you think, I don't know Jesus in that way. I feel something in my spirit, but it's not happened yet. Then I would like you to come out. I would like you to come and sit on the front row, and then the prayer team will be here to minister with you and will pray for you. And you can start that life with Jesus. There was no other life like it, and once you've been there, nothing will ever match that. So I'd like you to come out if that's you. Also, I'd like you to come out if you would like more courage to share your faith. Now, this is not everybody, but I am going to name some people who I have seen evidence of the Spirit working on their life for evangelism, and that's Abby Chetwood, Pete Zach, Emily Darby, and Kath Woodfield. And I've asked them to be prepared to pray for us, and I am going to get them to pray for me, because I want that courage to share my faith this year. I can't have a word over my life and over this church that says fruitful and then be too scared to open my mouth to my friends. I can't. I can't live that. I can't face you and stand up here and then not speak. So I am going to do that. Ask me if I've done it. Yeah. But I'm going to ask those people to pray. They can't all be out here to pray because Pete's on YPC and Emily's not well. But if you see them, say to them, because they know, they're expecting this, can you pray for me that I would have more courage to share my faith? And they will pray for you because they have that. They're not the only ones in this church. Please don't think I'm saying, oh, they're the only ones who are in their faith. I know lots of us do. But they're people I have recognized a gift in. in them, and I want that gift to be fanned into a massive flame. So Mark's going to play for us, and while he's doing that, please just have a time of reflection for yourself, and then if you would like prayer or prayer for anything else, if you feel you've gone astray, and I do have a particular word today that that somebody's been to see a medium, and that's not the end of the road, and there's a way back. And I have something for you if that's you, that, you know, God's love is over everything. There is no condemnation here. There is love. So please don't feel that. But please come out if you would like healing for something. We can pray for you. But if you want to know Jesus in your life, that is ultimate importance. And if you'd like more courage to share, please come. And prayer team, could you come out and sit on the front, please? And those people who are going to pray for courage to share faith so that people can see you and sit by you. Thank you. Okay, worship.